All right, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I will read, and I want you to either follow along or listen closely, to read a section of Paul's words, that which he wrote by inspiration. And let us remember that. The Spirit of God was moving Paul to write the exact words that he wrote. And I have every reason to believe that we have that exact truth translated for us here in this Bible. It's not, well, no, I don't want to, by inspiration he wrote this. And the words I'm going to read that Paul wrote in solemn support of the bodily resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll begin in verse 35. But some man will say, you see, people say, but why do preachers do that? Because they're led of the Spirit of God, that's why. They anticipate the objections. Why? Because they used to object themselves. And they're so familiar with men continually still rejecting before they even say it. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. That's strong language.
Yes, sir.
You know? Thou fool. I know if you've ever done any studying, some of the Greek manuscripts, when I say Greek manuscripts, I'm not talking about the pieces and the fragments and the parts. I'm talking about years later, let's the past 400 or 500, 600 years, that men have compiled of the Greek New Testament. That's what I'm talking about. Many of them leave that out.
Yeah.
I think it was too tough for them.
Oh, yeah.
You know why? Because the preponderant pieces, whether it's a fragment, whether it's quotations from men of old, or whether it's actually big parts, into the 90 percentile point, all of the manuscripts have thou fool.
That's right. Yeah.
This is what Paul wrote by inspiration of the Spirit of God. Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. What's Paul doing? He's given a physical illustration.
Yeah.
To refute the very question.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's why he says, thou fool.
Yeah.
This is not some ethereal thing way out there.
Yeah, exactly.
God has manifested these things in everyday life. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men. There is another kind of flesh. There is another of beasts. I'm sorry. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. This man wrote this around 2,000 years ago. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in honor. I'm sorry. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Now that's the passage I wanted to read. There are a few reoccurring themes or words, we might say, words, but themes because those words have true meaning. There are a few reoccurring themes in this text or bring to your attention. It's not going to be my subject necessarily, but the word kinds. Now, you may see it's in italics, but it's still a part of the text. Kinds. Paul says different kinds of flesh. Human flesh. There are flesh of beasts. There's the flesh of fish. There's the flesh of fowl. And they're different. Paul also says different kinds of bodies. There is a celestial, there are celestial bodies. There are terrestrial bodies. There is a body of corruption and a body of incorruption. The natural body and a spiritual body. Paul also says there, or indicates here, I should at least say, there are different kinds of glory. Now, some 1900 years, give or take a few, some 1900 years before the discovery of DNA, before the mapping of the whole human genome, the Spirit of God revealed there to be different kinds.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
Why? How? This man didn't know about DNA. I've got no reason to think that, or about the human genome, but yet the Spirit of God moved this man to talk about different kinds of flesh. Think about that. Different kinds of flesh. When man discovered DNA, mapped out the whole human genome, and actually began to see other kinds of DNA, they found out this DNA is different. And even there we found out that though some DNA is, according to what they say, I can't refute it because I'm not a scientist as they are. I don't have the access to the equipment they have. They say that the DNA between humans and the great apes is up into the well 90s the same. And yet, that small percentage that is different, look at the difference it makes.
Exactly.
They try to triumph the 90-some percent same, but look at the difference.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't see the difference, I have to say to you, thou fool.
There you go. That's right. Yeah.
1900 years ago, God moved this man to write this. Different kinds of flesh. There's a difference in the flesh of a man from a beast, and that from a fish, and that from a fowl. How did he know this? It's not a matter of how he knew this. The God who created all this moved him to write this.
Yes, sir.
God knew. God created the DNA.
Yes, sir.
All of that strand as it connects together. And if there's one little flaw, what a catastrophe it can cause.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Before we peeped through our telescopes, before we had Voyager or even Hubble, before we had the discovery of quasars and red dwarfs and blue giants and yellow stars. These are all different kinds of stars and stuff that's out there. Before we discovered the planetary diversity that's not just in our solar system, but in the whole universe. Even before all this, the Spirit of God revealed there are also celestial bodies and there are bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one. The glory of the terrestrial is another. They are different.
Yes, sir.
Here this little old ex-rabbi is writing down these words. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. Well, that's clearly visible. That's quite easy to see, right? You can look at the moon, which is merely reflecting the sun's glory. You can't look at the sun very long without it actually damaging your eyes. And he says there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. Listen, for one star differeth from another star in glory.
Yes, sir.
Now, he didn't know red dwarfs and giants and yellow stars, but the Creator did.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Think about that for a moment.
Yeah.
The one who moved him to write these words created these things, therefore he knew.
Oh, yeah.
And while he didn't give Paul the details here, Paul still gives that 2,000 years ago, he was up to par with the science of today.
There you go.
For star differeth from star in glory. Now you can't just look and see that, can you? All we see is twinkling lights way out there. But Paul back then said they're different. How did he know? Because God Almighty moved him to write these words. The one who created these things. This is not my message, but let me say this morning. This book is scientifically accurate.
Yes, sir.
Did you read along with Paul as he read from Ecclesiastes chapter 1 about the rivers and all this? We see that now on our maps when you watch the Weather Channel.
Yep.
And you see the, what's it called, how the air blows to the United States. The jet stream.
Mm-hmm.
Paul knew that.
There you go.
Or I should say Solomon wrote about that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We think we've discovered a lot. No, God's just showed us a lot.
Exactly.
It's always been there. Men way back yonder wrote about it. And they wrote about it accurately. Why? Because the Creator was moving them to write about these things.
Yes, sir.
This book is scientifically accurate, but it is not a book of science.
That's right.
It's a book about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, let me narrow this down, because right now I know you're wondering, where is he going with this? Well, I'm not here to preach against evolution. Evolution is a lie. That is said, it's done. The argument's finished. But again, I say now, think of this word, glory.
Sir.
Glory. It's mentioned right here, right? There's the glory of the sun, glory of the moon.
Yeah.
Stars differ in glory one from another. This old rabbi writing this some 2,000 years. Glory! Glory. Glory means the beauty of a thing.
Yes, sir.
Glory means its majesty. Glory means its honor, its dignity, its splendor. And you could go on and on with all of these words to describe the word glory. That's the word, glory. But now one more text. Turn to the 19th Psalm. Psalm 19. For the next few weeks, God willing, I want to talk about glory. This morning, it's this. The glory of God.
Amen.
That's where I want to begin. The glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God.
Amen.
And the firmament, not just what's up yonder, way out there,
yeah,
that we just recently, through our telescopes, have been able to really start examining, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what else? And the firmament, that's down around here.
Yeah.
And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. What's the psalmist saying? Creation teaches us lessons.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saying. No, creation teaches us lessons. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You don't have to know English. God Almighty has revealed it to every person of every kind of language.
Sir.
The things up there and the things all around us teach it every day and every night.
Sir.
Their line is gone out through all the earth,
yeah,
and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. My subject again is the glory of God.
Amen.
Now, having read this, Paul also, in another epistle, turn to Romans chapter 1, Paul also, in another epistle, makes a personal connection in all these things. In other words, he brings it home. He puts a face on it.
Yeah.
Puts some shoe leather on it, as Don Fortner likes to say. In Romans chapter 1, let me read these verses. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest not just to them."
Yeah.
"It is manifest" how? "In them. For God hath showed it unto them."
Amen.
This is a reality whether man realizes it or not.
Yes, sir. That's right.
"For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are" what? "Made." The heavens declare the glory of God.
Yeah.
The firmament, his handiwork. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So that what is the conclusion?
Yeah.
Man is without excuse. Isn't that what that says? "So that they are without excuse."
Sir.
"But I just didn't know. It's been around you all your life."
Yeah, that's
right. We even go to school now. We train our children up in these things to study the heavens and to study the firmament, don't we? In great detail. It's been around us all our life. God says these things. He has made us without excuse before him. Right? That's what Paul says. "Because that," but there's a problem here. "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Not only did Adam fall, that made us totally corrupt. But everything that God had around us, teaching us day and night about his handiwork,
sure,
his eternal power and Godhead, we turned against it.
Right.
We turned against it. Mm-hmm. And that added more darkness to our darkness. Mm-hmm. More corruption to our corruption. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed, look at it, here's the word, "the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible beasts and to birds and to four-footed beasts and to creeping things." And man still does that very same thing today, even with all of our enlightenment.
Oh, yeah.
With the Hubble looking out there into space, there are still some of our fellow men and women on the face of this earth still chiseling out a little thing of a beast or something and worshiping that thing. Calling that thing God. Right? This is not just something that took place way back yonder 2,000 years ago when Paul was around. This still happens today. The Hindus worship elephants. I think one of them might have two or three heads. I don't know what happens. "Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness." Do you see that? It didn't say God gave up on them. It wasn't that God was trying to do something. God showed us what the truth is. The heavens declare his glory and the firmament his handiwork. But we turned it around. We changed it around. We make God like unto us, rather than God being who he is, as he's revealed it even in the creation. "Wherefore also God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own flesh, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie."
There you go.
"Worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. but he ain't done yet. Amen don't mean I'm done. Amen means so be it. For this cause. Now, it just keeps adding to it. See, it just keeps adding to it. Adding on. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, you know what that's talking about. Talking about homosexuality. This is what the human race rushed headlong into after the fall of Adam. And we're still rushing headlong into it today.
Yes, sir.
Now somebody says, but that's them. That's them old homosexuals. Be careful.
Yeah.
Look, we're not done. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. See how... At one time, they acknowledged there was God. They tried to build a tower to get to Him, remember?
Oh, yeah.
But things just kept growing worse, and worse, and worse, and worse. To the point now to where there are some amongst the human race that don't even like to retain God in their knowledge. They want to get rid of the knowledge of God altogether.
Oh, yeah.
God don't even exist.
That's exactly
right.
Right?
God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He didn't say, now that's what homosexuals are like. Now look, he said that's what it's like. It's what it runs. Where there's even not even, they come out of the closet today. Yeah. No more shame even about it.
No.
The thing to do today is what? Come out of the closet. Be proud of who you are. Some are even talking about, God made me this way. No, you were condemned in Adam. That's your problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I was condemned in Adam. That's my problem. Why? Being filled with all unrighteousness. Now look, this is not just an indictment against one kind of thing.
That's right.
Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Paul links you up. If you're you ever committed fornication, Paul links you up with everybody else. These others he just mentioned.
That's right.
I should say, right? Fornication. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. Somebody says, well, hey, talk about the presidential debates. I don't know. Some of them probably ought to fit right in there.
Sure.
That's tongue in cheek, but still meant. Deceit, malignity, whisperers. You know what I mean? How many times, and I'm not preaching down to anybody, I'm guilty myself, how many times has somebody come to me and said, so-and-so said this, I wonder if they meant that. I don't know. They may have, but I don't know. I think they were talking about this, but they said that. Well, deal with that.
There you go.
Then you can find out if they really meant this. Problem is, most of us don't want to talk about that. We want to whisper. You know, the pie hole is flapping. Whisperers. Backbiters. Haters of God. Despiteful. He ain't done yet. It's like, come on, Paul, just stop now. I think we get the picture. Huh? No, we don't. That's the problem. We don't. Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. What? Disobedient to parents. Paul links them right up with the homos.
That's right.
And the fornicators and the murderers.
Yep.
Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Now, most people, they won't love. L-U-V. They don't even know what natural affection is. Most people think that love is, you remember that word I gave you earlier on? Somebody said, I then forgot what it was. Fraternization. Yeah. They think fraternization is love. No, fraternization is dangerous.
That's right.
Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There's your fraternization.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but this is the state of the human race.
Yeah.
This is you and me by nature.
Yes.
That's me as well as the homo in San Francisco.
That's right.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
That's you as well as the murderer locked up in prison who will never see the light of day, as we say it. This is what we all are by nature. And if God gives me up, I'm damned forever. I didn't say if God gave up on me. I said if God gives me up, if He gives me over, I'm gone forever. And let me say this, when it comes to these things and the flesh from which they flow, God has given it up. Job doesn't mention it. God doesn't come and save you and start working on your flesh. God leaves your flesh right where it is, condemned, and tells us to acknowledge what it is, condemned. Do you see the connection between the glory of God? Right? Think of this. I must move along. Let me give you just a few things this morning. God is glorious.
Yes, sir.
He is intrinsic glory. We are told to glorify God. Men are judged because they didn't glorify God.
That's right.
But God is glorious intrinsically nonetheless. In other words, we didn't really take away anything from God.
No.
We took away from our own hope.
There you go.
Our own peace. Our own safety. When we refuse to glorify God as He is, Joe, we're not harming God. We are harming ourselves,
exactly,
who ought to be subject to Him.
Yes, sir.
He is intrinsic glory. He is full glory.
Amen.
He can't be glorified in the sense of being made better.
No.
He is to be glorified in the sense of acknowledge that He is it.
Yes.
He's full glory. He is revealed glory. He's revealed it. What? The heavens declare the glory of God.
Yeah.
The firmament is handiwork. He's revealed glory. He is creator, not created. He is creator and creative glory.
Yeah.
All the glory of those things, the glory of the sun, the moon, all those different stars, where did they get their glory from? The creator. He is righteous glory. He is revelatory glory. And that specifically in the gospel. Specifically in the gospel. This whole book declares that God is glorious.
Yes, sir.
But specifically in the gospel, God Almighty sent down His only begotten Son and now is still sending men and women, if it be, His purpose and His way, to testify to others of that Son whom He sent. And God said, concerning Him, He's the brightness,
yes,
of God's glory.
Amen.
There's where it shines forth, David, in its most splendorous splendor, is in the person of the Son.
Sir.
He's revelatory glory. He's also distinct glory. That is, the glory that He gave to all these other things is but a very small reflection of His glory. You know, just like the reflection of the light coming from the sun off the moon. It can look very bright sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But you look directly at the sun, you'll know there's a big difference between that direct glory and distinct glory and the glory of that moon.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Just go out there today since it's shining so bright and look right at it for a while and see. Don't do that. I don't want you blaming me. Everybody loves to blame the preacher. I'm a target. Here's the last one. He is essential glory.
Amen.
The reason He's essential glory is because if you try to seek glory anywhere else and you deny God in any way,
yeah,
you find yourself in the pit of Romans 1.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's exactly.
He's essential glory. And I've just scratched the surface. Etc., etc., etc. Go on. Thus, Paul writes these words to Timothy. Listen to what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Now unto the King eternal.
Yes.
Immortal. Invisible.
Yes.
Remember, even the invisible things of him are seen from the creation, ain't they? Huh?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean undiscoverable.
No.
He's put it out there. Every day that you wake up, God Almighty is showing to me and you his glory.
Yes,
but he is invisible. The only wise God be honor and glory forever and ever. There it is again. Amen. Paul writes that to Timothy. Yet remember, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we, I know he says they,
yeah,
but I'm going to tell you, this is us by nature, so that we are without excuse.
Amen.
No wonder the Spirit of God moved Paul then to write what I read to you, thou fool. Even a seed of grain. We're not even talking about a seed of a bean. But a seed of grain. So small. When you cut it apart, all you see is fluff. Nothing.
Yeah.
Is it? And you throw it out there and what happens? It dies. The husk on the outside thing dies. And all of a sudden, somewhere inside, Joe, springs up what? Life.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't just spring up a bunch of other little seeds. It springs up a whole different plant. Now, not different from its kind, but a whole plant that then later has seeds on it. You see it? Paul says it's all around us, thou fool.
There you go.
You don't see this? Thou fool.
That's it.
Paul's not just being tough or mean. This is a fool. Thou fool is a fool of rebellion against evidence, not a fool of mental capacity. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
We talk about people as a fool. They can't comprehend. Some people just, you know, they're not right.
Yeah.
Whether it's retardation, whatever it is, they just can't get things as most normal. We say that, don't we? As most of us normal people do. But Paul's not talking about that. He's talking about a fool. Anybody who rebels against clear evidence is a what? A fool.
That's right.
A fool. Paul's not being mean. He's being honest with our souls. Thou fool. Joe sat here and called us some pretty bad names. And I have to tell you, as I sat right there, there's a part of me that didn't like a word of it. But the other part of me knows it's absolutely true. We've had people get mad because things like that are said, and they get mad and leave this place. Bye-bye. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they go? Thou fool. The evidence is all around you. You know what? All around you. No wonder Paul wrote that. Thou fool. In summary, since the creation renders men without excuse, how much more does the proclamation of the gospel? Now go back to Romans chapter 1 again. Since the creation of the world, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. The creation, the things that are made, shows his eternal power and his Godhead. But listen to what Paul says before, the preceding words to this in Romans 1, verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let, hindered, hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And what's Paul talking about? Fruit. You know, these religious people talk about fruit. I want fruit. What are they talking about? I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. They're at Rome also. The fruit he's talking about is seeing, hearing, or having. No. Preaching the gospel and seeing God in his grace use that gospel to lay hold of a soul and to call them out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yes, sir.
That's the fruit he's talking about. For I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed. Don't. Well, why do you talk about it so much? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. Don't worry about trying to make believers preach the gospel.
Amen.
Don't try to convince men, well, which comes first, life or faith? Amen. Preach the gospel.
Amen.
Then you can start to teach them about which came first.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You go out here to the world, don't try to, well, is regeneration by the Spirit and conversion by the gospel, are they both together? That person out there that's lost don't understand any of it anyway. He's not even going to understand the gospel as Joseph. But you know what you do? You preach it to him anyway. You know why? Because God can command the light to shine out of darkness.
Amen.
And shine in the heart and then give light.
Yes, sir.
Light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That don't happen apart from the gospel. You don't just wake up one morning and say, oh, I know Jesus.
Exactly.
It don't happen that way. Look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, you see it? In that gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Not from faith to unbelief, but from faith to faith. And as it is written, the just shall live by faith. From faith to faith. Let me give you this. It is the revelation is of spiritual import, not mere information supplied.
Exactly.
It's not just supply information to man, and then man will make the decision one way or the other. You supply him information, what will he do? Look at what he goes on to say. We've already read it to you. Verses 18 down through the end of the chapter.
Oh, yeah.
Just supply information.
Yeah.
Just supply the evidence. God's already did that.
Exactly.
What does man do? He takes the evidence and twists it.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Don't try to give the lost the evidence. Just preach the gospel. God Almighty will do his work.
Yes, sir.
He'll do his work. He'll do his work.
Yeah.
Now granted, yes, even that preaching of the gospel comes by the ability of God. Joe, you adequately proclaimed that. But still, preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Thus, even James, that great proponent of works.
Oh.
Wasn't he was. James was a proponent of works.
Yes, sir.
Not just any kind of work, but works
that
go with living faith. Thank Listen
you.
To what James says. Now you know this, it's not new. Even James proclaims it to be very clear. Verse 17 of James 1. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Everyone, whether it's gospel preaching or simply the manifestation of God's glory in creation, whatever it is. But look, of his own will begat us, brought us forth, begat he us with what? With what? The word of truth.
Amen.
That's why you don't compromise.
Exactly.
That's why you dare not compromise. Because if you compromise the truth, you're compromising a man's soul.
Yeah.
Well, I believe in election. No, you don't. You're playing games. I'll just be myself, and I'll just fraternize and get along with everybody, and everything will be okay because there's election anyway. You don't understand the importance of election, nor gospel preaching, regeneration, or conversion, or none of it. You're using God's truth as an excuse. You're changing the truth of God into a lie.
That's what you're doing.
You're being mean now, preacher. No, I'm being honest with our souls. Of his own will begat he us, what, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to hear.
Yes.
Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Why is it? Because we're so prone to it. He's not talking to a bunch of unbelievers here now.
That's right.
You need to straighten up your life and get right with the Lord and give your heart to him. He told the believers.
That's right. That's exactly.
Wherefore lay apart all filthiness. It took me a long time to learn this.
Yeah.
Even as your pastor, thank God Earl Cochran was around. Thank God you didn't have to put up with me from the get-go. Got a hard way of learning these things, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save you. So what? You rebel against the word, you rebel against God. You rebel Amen. Against God, you will perish.
Amen.
I don't care what doctrine you claim to believe. I don't care what kind of experience you claim to have. You rebel against the word of God, you endanger your very soul. Amen. And I'm done. Father, encourage us in this truth. Warn us in this truth. Turn us by this truth. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you all.